230 in our song book. I appreciate Tommy leading that. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Can you see that? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do we feel at home in this world? Of course, we like being here as Christians in many regards, in many ways. Quite honestly, I'm not ready to leave my family here. If something happens and I do, that's all right. It'll work out for them. But I'd rather stay a little longer at least. Get my kids all the way grown up and out of the house and married and all that stuff if they choose to do that. But there's a part of me still that, as a Christian, can't feel at home because I'm not home. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about that attitude. I want to talk about that paradigm that you and I as Christians must have. And I'm afraid sometimes, because of all the luxury and the wealth and all the blessings that we have, we sort of lose this thinking, and we just really like it here and are really not making any plans on leaving. And so I want to talk about this a little bit. How do we view life on this earth? How do you think about it? What's your view of it? What is your paradigm? Are you just passing through? Are you just a pilgrim? Are you here just for a short time? I'm on my way somewhere else. Is that your attitude? Is that your paradigm? What will earthly life seem like after we've lived in heaven for 1 trillion years? I tried to make this computation. I pulled up a spreadsheet. And I tried to analyze what it will be like to be in heaven for 1 trillion years and look back on living on earth for 90 years. I don't know if I'll make it that long, but I wanted to do the math. 1 trillion years in heaven, looking back on 90 years on earth, what will that seem like? As I look back at those 90 years, 100 trillion years ago, you get the idea. Well, I did the comparison as if I were 90 years old, about ready to die. And the comparison would be like looking back at 1/1,000,000th of a second of those 90 years. And I think as I'm 90 years old, about ready to die, that 1/1,000,000th of a second isn't going to seem like much. And no matter what happened in that 1/1,000,000th of a second, it's not going to be worth a hill of beans. And that's not what I'm going to be concerned about or worried about or even thinking about. And I think that's what it's going to be like in heaven 100 trillion years from now, that this life here, compared to 100 trillion years in heaven, isn't going to amount to much. Any of the hardships, any of the labors, any of the difficulties, as we sang in the song in verse 3, when we enter into heaven and all the angels are giving glory to God, what may happen here, all the bad stuff, isn't going to matter. But today we can get wrapped up in it, can't we? And it seems like it matters so much when it really doesn't. Are you a pilgrim? Are you a sojourner in this life? Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And Peter, in two places, expresses this thought. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your, the old King James says, sojourn. The New King James, New American Standard, and other modern translations that I checked says, during the time of your stay. During the time of your stay. And the point that Peter is making here is that our life on this earth is just a sojourn or a short stay. Because we are, as the song says, we are just passing through. We're here a short time, passing through, going somewhere else. And that's where we're going to be staying for eternity. Turn your Bibles to chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Do you think of yourself as being an alien? There's a big thing going on in our country, and I'm sure it's not escaped your notice, with recent legislation that's tried to pass through Congress, and it did not, as what we're doing with the aliens in our country. And we as Christians, though, we need to look at ourselves as being an alien. One who is an alien is living somewhere that is not his home. One who is an alien, his home is somewhere else. He is just somewhere traveling, passing through on a trip, and will eventually be back at his home. And Peter says that we are strangers. A stranger is someone who is in a foreign place. He's not in his home. He's not at his permanent dwelling. He's in a temporary dwelling. He's just passing through, going somewhere else. And that's got to be our attitude as Christians. I want you to notice in verse 11, if it is not, then we are going to lose the battle, the war, which we are fighting as Christians against the soul, verse 11 again. That if we consider this to be our permanent dwelling here in the flesh, then we're going to be unable to wage this war of sin, of the fleshly desires that come against us. We're going to lose that battle unless we consider, as Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that this earthly body is just a tent. It's a temporary dwelling, not a permanent dwelling, and we're looking forward to and anxious, eager to receive our permanent dwelling, and that is our spiritual body. Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 4. And James reminds us of the brevity of life. And especially for those who are young, who have lived a very short time, it seems that life is yet, in all probability, going to go for a very long time. As for me, as I'm getting a little older, and realize that just a few generations ago, I would be near the end of my normal lifespan and about ready to die, I can tell you right now, I'm not ready to die. And I'm still expecting, Lord willing, to live a little longer. But no matter what our lifespan may be here upon this life, whether it be 50 or 55 or 90 or even 100 or even some years after that, yet life here is just a vapor. And it's not going to last very long. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Remember in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, as the Apostle John is writing on behalf of Jesus Christ, the great vision which he experienced. He related their time of tribulation and the horrible things that were going to occur to them as being 10 days. So this gives us a relationship here, doesn't it? Perhaps we could say it like this. Our time here upon the earth is a short time. It's just like 10 days. Now we're going to be gone almost 10 days. And we're going to be back before you know it, and we're going to be glad to get back. And it's not going to seem like that long at all. Now a vapor's even shorter than that. How long does it take as you have a pot of water on the stove and it's boiling? How long does it take for that vapor to dissipate after it comes up out of the water? Have you ever tried to time it? What is it? What do you think? Just go through it in your mind. Does it take, 1 second to dissipate? 2 seconds to dissipate? Not any longer than that, does it? And it's gone very quickly. And so our life can be gone very quickly. As a matter of fact, James says, you do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what it's going to be like. And as you know, and I know, your life and my life could be over today. Lord willing, we're going to make it to a hotel tonight as we begin our trip. We may not make it there. We don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what this life is going to bring. I'm trying to find an illustration. Kalamazoo, Michigan, a couple of weeks ago, 17-year-old Brittany Matt Miller was killed by a drunk driver Friday morning. She became the fifth West Michigan teenager to die in a car accident since the start of June. Young people, I want you to realize this statistic. Through the National Transportation Safety Board, 2005 statistics showing teens make up 7% of the driving population. When it comes to fatal crashes, 14% involve teenage drivers. And in 22% of all deadly highway crashes, teens are involved. That's why I don't like mine on the interstate. Andrea, smiling. I make them go another way. Because the probability is great that they are not coming home. Lord willing, that won't happen to any of you, but statistically, that's your odds. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There are some good odds that there's a number of us won't make it. Life is short, and we have to live it that way. As if we're just passing through, going somewhere else, because this life could be over any moment, but eternity still awaits. And we have to live that way. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's notice some who did live that way. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Speaking of those who lived upon the earth by faith, specifically of Abraham, verse 8. But now verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now let me ask you this morning, are you looking for that city? Or are you happy living in Lutz, Land O'Lakes, Tampa, wherever you happen to live? Trinity. What's your view of life, your paradigm, your attitude? Are you looking forward to that which is coming, or satisfied to be where you're at? Verses 13 through 16, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Are you making that confession in your life? Your attitude, your thinking, the way you talk, everything, is that your confession? live as a person of faith, and a person of faith makes this confession: I am an alien, I am a stranger, this is not my home, I'm looking for something else. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Are you making it clear? And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. If you're thinking of the worldly, fleshly country, you're going to have the opportunity to go back. But as it is, they desire a better country. Do you desire a better country? Do you live every day desiring a better country? Desiring a better place? Desiring eternity? Turn your Bibles back over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want very quickly for us to notice a profile of an individual who is living as an alien, living as a stranger here upon the earth, seeking the country that is to come, seeking eternity in heaven with God. And I want to just read the first couple of verses, but the others we're just going to peruse very quickly. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens. Physically, they were aliens. They had been scattered because of the persecution upon Christians. And spiritually, they were aliens, and he is making this comparison between the two. Verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ. This is the key point of this profile. This is the key point of what you are and who you are today as a spiritual alien living upon the earth. Verses 3 and 4, they were born again to a living hope, having an inheritance from God and protected by His power. Verses 6 and 8, they rejoiced. Even when they were tested with fire, yet they rejoiced. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to heaven. Verses 13 and 14, they prepared their minds. And they were obedient. Verses 17 through 19, they were living here upon the earth in fear, knowing that they were redeemed with that which was more precious than gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, they had purified their souls in obedience to the truth. And they were born again by the Word of God. This is your profile. This is who you are and what you are as a spiritual alien. And certainly all of us are striving more and more every day to be more like this. And I ask you this morning to strive more and more to be like this, to improve as a spiritual alien, stranger, passing through this world. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 3. Now there are a couple of points I want to make regarding being these spiritual aliens. As spiritual aliens, we are pressing on to our new home. We are not satisfied with this life. We are not satisfied living in the flesh. We are wanting something more out of life. Although we're happy to be here, although we're rejoicing, although we're glad to have our families, although we're glad to experience all the blessings of God, we are not satisfied with this. We are wanting something more, and that is our eternal home with God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul expresses some of these things. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And that's the way we have to look at this life. The physical things that would hold us here and keep us here and keep our desires here, we have to count them as loss. Verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Is that the way you look at your life? that when it gets right down to this, all of this stuff of a physical nature and a fleshly nature is rubbish. It's trash. It's garbage. It does not matter. There are other things that are more important. Go down to verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. His idea was this: I'm not in heaven yet. I have not gotten there. So what does he say? But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I'm not going to explain that. But I'm going to make this point, that Paul was pressing on to lay hold of what was waiting for him in heaven. Now notice his attitude in doing this. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And are we doing that? Are we letting go of the worldly, fleshly things that draw us here, that keep our attention here? Yes, as the Bible says, we enjoy them. God's given them for us to enjoy. But do we enjoy them within this perspective that the rubbish compared to heaven, and they're not holding me here, and with them, I'll enjoy them and I'll do good, but without them, I'll be just as happy. What else does he say? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now turn your Bibles back over to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at some examples of those who were doing this very thing. We already read verses 13 through 16. Go down to verse 32. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Now verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Some people compromise in life to save their life. But as a person of faith, this world is not my home. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I'm passing through. I will not compromise. That's what it says. So that I can have a better resurrection. And that is resurrection to eternal life. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. Those who have gone before us, who walked upon this earth as strangers and as aliens and did not compromise their faith, endured severe torture. And how is it one has the strength to endure that torture? Having the right view of life. I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. This is temporary. I'm passing through. I'm going to something that's better, and that's for eternity. It is said of prisoners of war, that's a horrible thing. Beth has an uncle that was a POW. And maybe all of us know or have heard of or seen those who are POWs. It is said that those who have a confident faith in the Lord and believe that they're going to heaven do not last nearly as long. Why is that? It's because they're just passing through. They believe there's something better for them. They believe that something's awaiting them. That the things of this life and the fleshly things aren't all that important. so it's not a big deal to go. I remember of my grandmother who died when we were visiting her one day. I was not sorry for her. I was happy for her. I was glad for her. My attitude was not, she's dead, she's gone. My attitude was that she's just made the trip a little sooner than I have. And that I'd see her again real soon. That's got to be our view of life. We're here a short time. We're going somewhere else. There's something else that's awaiting. There's something else that's more important. To die is not that big a deal. I'm not wanting y'all to go die. I don't want you to go do something stupid with your life. I say that especially for the young people. I don't want you to be careless driving your cars. I don't want you to start driving on the interstate, Andrea. Pam's been driving a little longer. She does. But there's a lot of times I'll say, no, hey, we need to go somewhere. I'll go with you. I'm going to drive. But still, when it comes right down to it, there's a lot worse things that could happen than dying. Losing our soul and going to hell, that's a whole lot bigger deal than dying. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So all these things are sort of put together for us here in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, taking all these examples of those who are aliens and strangers, men and women of faith, and now applying that to us. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside. To be sawn in two. Rather than give up your faith, you had to be totally committed. And now we too are to be totally committed. And lay aside also every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And what did he do? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that tells us something. Jesus Christ endured the cross. He didn't want to do it. As we know from other places, he even prayed that it would not happen, but God's will be done. That he despised the shame. He hated going through it, but he did it. And now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you and I follow in his footsteps, let me ask you this. How do you think Jesus thought about life? Alien, stranger, passing through? Is that the way you think he thought about life? The one who'd already been to heaven, been in heaven? I think so. And so we have to figure it the same way. And let me ask you this. Do you truly believe one day you're going to be before the throne of God worshiping? Do you truly believe that? Do you believe, can you see the best you can in your mind, whatever that's going to be like? With all the angels, we pray today, with all the saints, with God and with Jesus. And can you, your faith is so strong, you can see yourself there. That's what we're talking about. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Because if you can't see yourself there, how can you fix your eyes on Jesus? You can't. Verse 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Brethren, I don't want you to grow weary. I don't want you to get tired. I don't want you to be drugged down by the world and all the things that happen. Think of yourself, alien, stranger, passing through. This is really not that big of a deal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because that's where you're headed. And there's nothing on this earth worth giving in exchange for that. Don't ever lose sight of that. Never. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to make this point. Aliens and strangers are always prepared to leave. Matthew chapter 24. Are you prepared to leave? Are you prepared to leave right now? Are you prepared to go? Are you prepared to leave all of this behind right now? Spiritual aliens and strangers are ready for this trip to get over at any moment. They're prepared. Jesus teaches on preparedness. And he's teaching specifically earlier in Matthew chapter 24 on the destruction of Jerusalem. And verse 34, these things were going to happen before that generation passed away. And they had to be prepared. Jesus told them, when you see the abomination of desolation, in Luke it's explained, when the armies circle the city, you leave right now. If you're outside the city, don't even go back inside. Go. Don't go get my wife and kids. Jesus said, don't go back to the city. Go. They can get themselves out. He says this about being ready. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Think about that. All the people that were listening to Noah preach all of those years while he was preparing the ark, saying it's going to rain, mocking, scoffing, not believing. How do you think they felt when it really started raining? Don't be caught up in the days of Noah, when people didn't pay attention, didn't listen, didn't believe, and then it started raining, and then it was too late. We have to be prepared now, because once it starts, it is too late. No going back. On down a little further in verse 42 and following, all the way through the end of the chapter, Jesus tells three parables on being prepared. First one is of two slaves. And one slave was a foolish, sinful, disobedient slave. His master had gone away. He figured, well, the master's going to be a long time. I've got plenty of time. I can beat the other slaves. I can abuse them. I can eat, drink, be merry, get drunk. Guess what? He wasn't ready. The other slave, he was sensible. He was smart. He lived every day knowing the master could come back this moment. I've got to be ready. So he was ready at the door every moment, knowing it could be any second without any notice. Which slave are you? Are you ready? Or do you figure, hey, you got a long time yet to deal with that. You'll get ready later. Then he tells the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 were not. The bridegroom comes. The 5 who weren't ready, they were off doing something else. The bridegroom comes. The 5 that were ready, they enter into the marriage feast. The other 5 come back. They're too late. Bang on the door. Say, you're not coming in. You're late. If we are late, there's no getting in. If we're not ready and the Lord comes, there's no getting in. This is the parable of the talents. Master calls 3 slaves, gives 1 5 talents, 1 2, and the third he gives 1 talent. He says, I'm going off on a long trip. Go and do business. The one who had 5 made 5 more, he had 10. The one who had 10 made 2. Well, the one who had 2 made 2 more, he had 4. The one who had 1, he was lazy, as Master said. He was wicked. He just buried it in the ground. Judgment day came. The 2 who were working and prepared, they entered into the joy of their master. The one who was not prepared, the one who was lazy, evil, and wicked, he was cast into outer darkness. And we look at those parables. Jesus is concerned about us being ready, because no one knows the day, no one knows the hour. Are you ready? To die today. a spiritual sojourner upon the earth is ready to die today. Paul tells us, though, that as Christians, although we are aliens here upon the earth, we are members of his household, and there we are not aliens. And the choice boils down to this. Do you want to be an alien upon the earth and a member of the household of God? Or do you want to be at home on earth and an alien of the household of God? You got to make a choice. You got to be an alien somewhere. It can be earth or it can be the household of God. As a faithful Christian, you're an alien, spiritual alien here upon the earth, and you're at home with God. But if you're not a Christian today, you're not a member of the household of God. And when this life is over, you're not going to be with God. So we've all got to be an alien somewhere. Where are you an alien? And where is your home? That's the question we all have to answer. And the good thing about it is, it's not too late to change. Because the Lord has not come in this about 30 so minutes that I've been speaking, and nobody in the audience has died. So you can change right now. But you don't know what's going to happen later today. And you don't know what's going to happen tonight, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All you know about is what's going on right now. And if you're not a Christian, and if you understand this lesson, if you want to make a change and become a member of the household of God and become an alien here upon earth, you've got this chance, but it may be your last. That's your decision, what you do about that. Our decision is to extend the gospel invitation and offer to help you if you want to change. So we're going to do that. If you want to pull out your song books and turn over to number 276, we'll sing that song in just a second. To become a member of the household of God, you just have to do what Jesus said. Believe that is he, the one who said he was. He's the Messiah, the Son of God, the one with all authority in heaven and on earth. You believe that, and therefore you're going to obey him explicitly, no questions asked. Because of that, you're going to repent of your sins, and that is to change from doing the wrong. You're going to be committed and doing the right in your life beginning today. And because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're willing to confess before others, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, with all authority, you're going to obey him to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you'll be made a member of God's household and begin your walk here upon the earth as an alien and a stranger just passing through. We can help you at all this morning. Why don't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.